Moncrief with Gas Networks Ireland. Aren't you tired of that ugly fuel storage tank, having to order and write that big check for the delivery guy? gasnetworks.ie/movetogas.
Anyway, time for a nice glass of wine, though. I'm pleased to say Joey Dupuy and Serena Bellissimo are with us once again for Movies and Booze. Good afternoon to you both.
How
are
you?
Are you well?
Can you get more exotic names than...
Yes, actually, come to think of it, yeah, you've probably
less
more
Irish.
More syllables in a name for anyway. Julie, what are we going to be talking about today?
We'll be talking about natural wine, organic wine, and orange wines.
Orange wines.
Yes.
What's an orange wine?
So an orange wine is a white wine made like a red wine. And we had quite a few questions about orange wine last time I was.
That's right,
here.
We did. Yeah.
So I thought I will bring in one of them, so we can taste it and talk about it.
And if something is an organic wine, what's not in it that would be in all the other wines, the non-organic wines?
Well, hopefully chemicals.
Yeah, but would people routinely put chemicals in when they're making grapes and stuff?
You could, yes, definitely. You could use pesticides, herbicides, fungicides. There are a lot of things that can be used in a vineyard, like in every agricultural land.
Mm.
So if you have a wine which is grown organically, they shouldn't be used in the vineyard.
Right. Okay. So, but most wine would be actually organic, would it?
We would love to think so, but unfortunately not.
Right. Okay. I don't know what it was about Paul Walker, but when I went to see Fast and Furious 7 with my kids, I got more emotional as the film went on. By the end, when they said goodbye to Walker's character, I was in floods of tears. I'm 42. My 9-year-old just looked at me and uttered "sap." Says top dad. Indeed, you are a top dad. Someone else says, I don't like biscuits, but I would murder a hedgehog, figuratively speaking. I'm glad to hear that it's only figuratively speaking. Serena.
Yeah. Can I admit something that I probably shouldn't admit?
You've never seen any of the Fast and Furious films. Yeah.
None of them. Actually, my husband was on a plane yesterday and he said he watched The Fate of the Furious, which is the 8th one. And he said I wasn't missing much.
Well, they are largely the same, really.
Yeah,
there's some sort of caper and they're all in cars.
Yeah, one car chase after the other. So if you're into the car chases, then I think you'll be into those films. I'm not really into those films.
Yeah.
Yeah. Though I do like Paul Walker, and I do miss Paul Walker. And you're not a sap for crying. That was sad.
How many of them did he do before he died?
I think he did six. He did seven. Because his brother had to come in and finish off the 7th one. And then, you know, when they'd finished filming, but, you know, sometimes they have to go back for reshoots. So the brother came and stood in and did some reshoots. And then the 8th one, he wasn't in.
All right. Okay.
Yeah, so it is quite sad.
No, it is genuinely sad.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know, because I just genuinely don't know why, like, Paul Walker's been almost deified by fans of the... is it just that they're fans of the franchise, or is there something else he's done?
No, I think it's the franchise. Like, the fans are massive super fans.
Yeah.
So that makes sense.
Right. I do hope some of the wines you are sampling today are biscuity, says Neville. In the trauma ward in Limerick Regional Hospital. Oh, Neville, we hope you're okay. That you're not a patient, or maybe you are a patient, I don't know, or that you're working there. Can you ask Julie if she has heard of Critter Champagne, K-R-I-T-E-R, or Champagne Stork Sparkling Wine? I got it in a French supermarket. Where can you get it in Ireland, or how do I import it from France?
I've never heard of it,
yeah.
Unfortunately, and it might not be a champagne. If
it's
only
a sparkling wine,
but not produced within the region of Champagne, then it could only be a sparkling wine.
Yeah, so that it could be anything.
It could be many things.
Yeah. You say many things, including urine, might be one of those things. I think Las Quebradas Enrique Mendoza is the nicest red wine ever. What does your wine guru think?
Says Dad. What's the name of it?
Pardon my... that one there.
Las Quebradas Enrique Mendoza. I suppose it must be a Malbec from Argentina, if it's from Mendoza.
Mm.
I'm not familiar with these particular producers, but there are plenty of really good examples of wines in Mendoza being produced. So,
right. So it would be a big wine then?
It would tend to be a very ripe style of kind of... blueberry, blackberries, you know, flavors focused and very smooth and structured. So, I mean, depends of the style they're trying to make, but generally, yes, they're quite big wines.
So, would it be too much of a simplification that say that wines like Malbecs are really for people who smoke and can't taste anything else?
That's a little bit harsh.
I know, yeah. I'm just trying to be provocative. Trying to be a shock jock, you know?
No. You have many, many styles of wines within the category of Malbec, depending where they are produced in Argentina and how they are made. You find some very, very good and obviously some less good examples.
Right, okay.
Yeah.
Very diplomatic. Right, the Hitman's Bodyguard.
Oh, I love this.
Oh, did you?
Yes, I'm very surprised myself. I've just gone and given away all the suspense. Anyway, Samuel L. Jackson, Ryan Reynolds, Salma Hayek, Gary Oldman. What is not to love, Sean?
Samuel L. Jackson, actually.
Because
I don't know, he seems to have gone into a spiral and, you know, his career's gone into a spiral and, you know.
Do you know what?
Up his own backside as well, to a certain extent.
Do you think?
Yes, I did.
Oh, no, don't go there. Do you know what?
I don't want to go there.
Do you know what he's doing? He's doing something that works well for him. He knows what his type is. He's playing to type. And sometimes the movies he chooses to do are really crap. This isn't in that category.
Right, okay.
And I do love, he is the world's best cursor, isn't he? I could just watch him cursing.
Yes, he's a good cursor.
Yeah, he just does it with such passion.
Yeah. But it's almost like he got into it. It's kind of a Nicolas Cagey thing, that Nicolas Cage started playing unhinged characters, but then you knew that's because you are actually unhinged.
Yeah.
And there's a little bit of bang of that off Samuel L. as well.
Possibly. And he's making it work for him. He's making millions and millions of dollars off the back of that.
Okay. All right. But actually, it's the rest of the cast is probably higher than his pay grade at this stage of the game.
Do you think?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Because he seemed to be getting, you know, a lot of his films are, I mean, you go on your Sky, there's a lot of films with Samuel L. Jackson that just pop up straight there.
Yeah,
they don't trouble a cinema at all.
Yeah, no, they do. But look, the likes of Ryan Reynolds, and how can you not love Ryan Reynolds?
I don't know. I mean, personally, I adore him.
Yes. And I think he does it for men and women. And
does he?
Yeah, he does.
With the kind of money he has, you think he wouldn't have to. right, so everything.
Completely
about
different.
Which I know nothing.
And you will continue to know nothing because this is a film that you are going nowhere near, Sean. This is a young adult film. Young adult film?
Right, yes.
That, you know,
a film for teenagers.
Yes, yeah. So it's a love story. Will they, won't they get together? And I have to admit, 16-year-old Serena came out in this and I just got caught up in the moment. It is not the best film you're going to see, but, you know, what I did love about this is it just celebrated love. And I'm just so tired of all the ugliness that's out in the world at the moment. It was nice for 90 minutes to just sit there and just see something beautiful.
Hmm. Actually, has there been because there seemed to be a spate of those young adult movies for a while, and then it just stopped.
Yeah,
what happened?
Twilight happened. So everyone tried that copycat thing. And I think it's Hollywood. It's the same old, same old. They oversaturate the market. Then you don't want to see anything ever again. And then you have to wait a while for it to come back. So I think there's been a real calling for a film like this. It doesn't mean it's the best film that's out there, but I think it will do well
for its audience. Yeah, because it was Twilight and then there was the cancer one, which a man with a weepy face.
The Fault in Our Stars. This has a bang off The Fault in Our Stars as well. So the weepy face.
No, he just looked like somebody has just slapped him.
I found that shocking news.
I used to wonder why there was a Fast and the Furious 5 and then 6 and then 7. And really had me scratching my head. Then I learned the Fast and Furious films have taken in 1.7 billion at the box office, and all that without paying any writers. I assume they do have, you know, because somebody has to insert.
They have stunt writers.
Hurry up!
I'd say they have stunt writers. And look, unfortunately, this is the way Hollywood has gone. It's in order to be able to make those lovely indie films that we like watching, those artsy films, they have to make the big bucks on the franchises. And that's why we're seeing the studios make lots and lots of franchises. Like, I think we're oversaturated when it comes to comic films and superhero films.
Mm.
Like, we're done. I think we're done. But studios know that's going to bring in the money. So let's do that. And then we can actually see the films that we really want to see.
Actually, it's a similar model to book publishing.
Yeah.
In that it's kind of a rough figure, but 10% of the authors in any publisher pay for the other 90%. They're the 10% who sell books, and they pay for the other 90% who just really do it part-time.
Yeah, and see, that's why you can't blame the studios either, because they have to make the money.
Critter is a Blanc de Blanc from the Loire, says Pa from Clock Jordan. Eco Village in County Tipperary. Thanks for giving us your full address.
So it must be a Crémant de Loire in this case.
If you say so.
Yes.
Yeah.
So I'm not familiar with it, but they have some really good wines, sparkling wines in the Loire, most likely made from Chenin Blanc. more than Chardonnay. If you were in Champagne, Blanc de Blanc would be Chardonnay, but in the Loire, it must be a Chenin Blanc.
I have a bottle of Torbreck Runrig. Is it a good wine?
Is it always when I'm here that people come?
Oh, no, they do it every week. They do it every week. This is appearing on Wine Mastermind.
It is a very good wine. I was going to say it depends on the vintage, but the vintage variations in Australia are less impacting than if we were in Europe. So I would say, yes, it is a very good wine, whatever the vintage.
Okay.
Yes.
Right.
Yes.
What does Julie think of Rizzardi Munus Bardolino? I literally bought it in the shop 30 minutes ago for dinner tonight.
I am not familiar with it, but Bardolino comes from the Veneto area. It tends to be quite close in style to Valpolicella. So they're wine which are generally very kind of crunchy, juicy, unoaked, generally speaking. I would probably, if it is in this case, I would say serve it a little bit cooler than a regular red wine, and it could be very enjoyable.
Okay.
Yeah.
And someone else says Ryan Reynolds There it is. Ryan Reynolds is the Jim Carrey of the 90s. He's grand. Tries too hard, just like Jim Carrey did in the 90s.
Let's not put the two of them in the same category. Very two different actors. Loved Jim Carrey, but I think there's more of a naturalness about Ryan Reynolds, and I just want to hang out with Ryan Reynolds as well. He's just
in his pants.
Anywhere he'd like to have me, Sean.
Okay. Your man with the weepy face, as you call it, was in Baby Driver and was phenomenal. I didn't like him until I saw that movie, says Alison of Wexford. A lot of people did like that movie.
I loved that movie. I actually interviewed him and I loved him until I spoke to him in person.
Not to tell tales out of school, but yes, there was because he was with several of his co-stars who apparently were all lovely and he was a bit, you know.
Yeah, and for the life of me, I cannot remember his name right now. It will come to
me. You see, that's showbiz. That's what happens when you're mean to the people who review your films.
Well, yes. And do you know what? He is great in the film. And if you haven't seen Baby Driver, go see it. But he was just very arrogant. He was the type of... It's funny. The bigger the star, the nicer they are. Mm. He's on his way up and he's already... possessing that I'm a star, I'm too cool for school. I don't expect people to, you know, stand up when I walk in the room, but some eye contact would be nice. No eye contact till I asked him a question and then he sort of looked up. So thank goodness for his co-star is all I can say.
Yeah. Right. Okay. Would you have to take a commercial break? All that coming up in the next hour. Back in a couple of minutes. 1890-453-106 is our local number. Our text number is 53106. That'll cost you 30 cents. You can follow us on Facebook or Twitter or send us an email to afternoon@newstalk.com. It is time for Movies and Booze. We're in the midst of Movies and Booze. We do have a hashtag. It is Angry Movies. Santa Claus Your Eyes Out. They're actually particularly good this week. And Chafing Private Ryan. Shouldn't that be Chafing Ryan's Privates? But never mind. I'm not going to dispute your choice there. Tommy says, let's all agree bloodless coups are the best coups. Couldn't agree more, Tommy. They're my favourite sort. We were talking about Weepy Face, as I called him. His name is Ansel Elgort. Alison says, not surprised he's up his own hole with a name like that. I don't know if that's nominative determinism. I don't think that is that. I used not to like Ryan Reynolds films, but I think he's gotten better and really grown into his looks. Says Fred in Dublin.
He has, and you know, my all-time favourite Ryan Reynolds film, and this is when I thought, wow, you are an amazing actor. Because remember, he started on a TV show called Two Guys and a Pizza. And then I did not know that. Yeah,
no.
Two Guys, a Girl and a Pizza. And he's the only one out of the three of them that's actually made it big. And I would never have thought
show.
Yeah, no. But I would never have thought watching that show that he would be the one to be the movie star. But if you haven't seen Buried, it is an amazing, tense film. Hell, he wasn't nominated for an Oscar for that film. He basically spends 90 minutes in a coffin.
Yes, I've forgotten all about that.
Yeah, and you are so claustrophobic and it relies on him. And if he didn't work, the film wouldn't work. And he was phenomenal. And I think that's when Hollywood took notice.
Can you ask Julie, what's the difference between a French Malbec and an Argentinian Malbec? I saw a French one the other day and had always thought that Malbec was only from Argentina, says Sarah.
Ooh. Well, that's where the Argentinian did very well at marketing the name of a grape when we were not good at all at this in France, and we're still not good, to be honest. So Malbec originally comes from the south of France. It comes from a region called Cahors. And I think it's in the early 19th century, there is a gentleman called Michel Pouget who brought Malbec to Argentina. The first country actually where Malbec arrived in South America was Chile, but they didn't use it as well, or they didn't think of using it as well as Argentina did. Mm. So the difference is the grape is the same, but the climate is very different. So when you are drinking a wine from Cahors in France, you're going to have a wine also very deep in color, like a Malbec from Argentina, but with more tannic structure. It will be more astringent, and sometimes they can be a little bit rustic and austere.
Yeah.
When you are in Argentina, most of the time, you have a big style of wine, but you have this extra layer of kind of ripe, smooth characteristics, dark chocolate, and it makes it maybe more appealing to people. So that's really the difference between the two.
And is altitude a factor in the Argentinian Malbecs?
Definitely. So Argentina, especially Mendoza, is kind of a desertic climate, and without altitude, you wouldn't manage to have really high quality grapes. You need the altitude to manage to get a slower, longer ripening of the grapes, but also to preserve a natural acidity. And without that altitude, you wouldn't have high quality ones in Argentina.
Orla says, I went to see Atomic Blonde last week. What a terrible, terrible movie. Yes, have women in the lead roles, but can we not write good movies for them anymore? Jesus wept. It was truly appalling, says Orla.
Yeah, look, I don't think it's necessarily Charlize Theron's fault. I just think that's the way an action film has gone now. You know,
yeah.
Try and do a story in the first half. It's not really working. Let's do the second half, all action. I think in order to enjoy that, you really have to be into the action. And I think they need to start making the 90-minute film again. The fact that nothing goes for 90 minutes. And I think that's part of the problem. If you could shave half an hour of all these films, that'd be more tolerable. You maybe wouldn't love them, but you wouldn't come out as angry.
Even at that, yeah. I get the feeling your movie reviewer just likes hot actors as opposed to the actual movie. Mmm, they say.
Mm.
When people put mmm in a text, it makes them sound 20% cleverer.
Yeah. No. Look, if they're hot, it helps. But no.
That's Serena Bellissimo's catchphrase. If they're hot, it helps. Do you know where I could get Falerio? It's an Italian white wine that I had in a restaurant recently, Rowan Galway says.
I hear you. No, I'm sorry, I don't.
Yeah. Niamh, who works in the show, you'll know Niamh, says bonjour, because she's in Paris at the moment. I'm just having a rest here in me Airbnb before hitting the town in Paris after a lovely steak tartare lunch. Given that Julie is in today, could she recommend any good sophisticated yet trendy reds we can order so we can fit in with the locals?
Well, if you're going to eat steak tartare for the week, maybe you should look at I don't know, you could look at ones from the Beaujolais, like a lovely Morgon or Fleury, or you could look at ones from the Loire Valley, some Cabernet Franc, especially from Chinon, could be lovely with a steak tartare.
Well, she's already had the steak tartare. God knows what she's going to eat next.
Maybe frog's legs.
But if you know when you kind of go out in Paris, if they're in some trendy place, you want them to say, ooh, they know what they're doing, rather than, you know, pig tourists in again.
I don't really know Paris, to be honest with you. I'm from the south of France. We tend to say that Paris is not France.
Oh, God, why do you say that?
Oh, no, it's kind of the fight between the north and the south.
Urban-rural divide thing. Okay. I have a 98 bottle of Chateau unpronounceable. Should I sell it, drink it, or keep it? Will its value inflate? Tobias wants to know.
Chateau Rebondissant. It's a very interesting name. It's like a balloon that would go on the, on the ground and...
Right, bounce up. So
bouncing chateau, it means yes. So no, I don't know what it is. I'm sorry.
Maybe it's a box of wine he has, and just because it's got a French name in it, he thinks it might be worth something. Well, if you've never heard of it, it's probably not.
No, I never heard of it, I'm afraid.
Yeah, sorry, Tobias. Just wondering if I can get a bottle of Prosecco for a tenner. I got it in Galway over Christmas, but I can't find it in Dublin. Botter Prosecco, B-O-T-T-E-R.
I'm sure you can find a Prosecco for 10 euros if you go to any supermarket.
Yeah. Sean, I bought the kiddies to the Emoji movie. It has the complete opposite effect that we thought it would. Me and my husband love it, but the kids hated it. It wasn't realistic enough, apparently. Who knew? Says Maggie. Did you see the Emoji
How old
movie?
Are the kids? This is the interesting thing.
They don't give us those details.
Yeah, because my 6-year-old absolutely loved it.
Right.
And, yeah, she'd go back and see it in a heartbeat. I don't know if it'll become her all-time favourite film, but while she was there, she actually quite enjoyed it.
Wow.
But she's 6. So I wonder if they're 8 to 9. I think the older they get, I don't know if they're going to enjoy it as much. And my 1-year-old was fascinated by all the colour and animation.
Right.
Yeah, so I wonder if it's just at the lower end.
Okay, I think Esther tore it a new one. She just absolutely hated it.
It's not made for us. It's made for the kids, and it's made to make money, and it's also made for all the merchandising, because I cannot believe how much the kids are into actual emojis at the moment. They love them.
Mm.
My kid's got poo emojis stuck on her wardrobe. Like poo emojis.
Do you not use emojis when you're communicating?
I do, but
in the virtual realm?
I do, but I wouldn't have them hanging in my bedroom.
No, that's true.
And especially the poo emoji.
Ones, yeah. I thought Baby Driver was the most laughable, ridiculous mess I've seen in a long time. I know poetic license is allowed, but this pushed it. How did the madman actor escape the second massive shootout exactly? Farce.
It's a film. They're allowed to do whatever they want.
It's a farce.
Do you know what? Do you know why I loved Poetic Driver, Baby Driver? Because it was something original.
Yeah.
Yes, it was your action caper type film, but it was set to music, and it was. I'm just happy to see something original on the screen, and I wouldn't be surprised if there's a sequel, and that's when I'll get disappointed.
Oh no!
But John Hamm was amazing.
Another texter says Esther is the same with hot actors. If you put Channing Tatum in that 8-hour film about sheep walking around the place, she'd tell you it was a potential Oscar winner. In fairness, that's absolutely correct. Can you ask your panel about alcohol allergies? I love my drink, but lately if I drink, I break out in a hot, red, blotchy rash with all types of wines. Any ideas?
No, it's not the first person I hear having this problem.
Mm.
I would probably recommend to go and see a nutritionist and see if there is a way to maybe, you know, stop any alcohol in drinking for a while and see potentially you might get better after a while. I'm not sure. I'm not a nutritionist, but it's not the first time I hear about that problem.
Yeah. In fact, it's quite common people in Ireland have a few drinks, wake up the next morning with a rash. But those two things aren't necessarily connected to each other. Right, Julie, let's move on to our first wine of the day.
So our first wine of the day is a skin contact white wine, which also
explain
can
what that,
be called...
Explain that, what that means.
Amber wine or orange wine.
Okay.
So it's... The concept of orange wine, so just a brief explanation, is when you make a white wine, generally you press the grapes directly and the juice of those grapes are fermented. Then you get alcohol. When you make red wine, the grapes are whether crushed or not, but the fermentation happens with the skin in contact with the juice. So the color is contained in the skin of the grapes.
Mm.
And that's how you get a red wine, because most red grapes actually have a clear juice. So you could technically make white wine out of red grapes if you press them directly without skin contact. So when you make an orange wine, you leave the skin of the white grapes in contact with the juice, and that gives you a much darker, golder, more orangey color.
Mm.
The style of wine itself is a very old traditional style. In Georgia, it apparently appeared about 5,000 years ago. And originally, people used to make this wine in what they called large quarry, which are like big, big amphoras, which were buried into the ground. The grapes were put into it. The quarries were sealed and not opened for sometimes 6 months. And they were just letting nature do its thing.
Mm.
Now, the first mention of orange wine in closer to here is in actually at the border with Slovenia in Italy, where there was some priests who recognized that when you make an orange wine, the wine has a better natural protection because within the skin, you have all the antioxidants and polyphenols, which are present in red wine and which protect the wines, which means that technically you should be able to use less sulfur or sulfites when you make orange wine. But the style has disappeared in the 1970s. It wasn't fashionable anymore. And then it started reappearing since the 1990s, especially thanks to a producer called Gravner, which was also from Italy. And today it's back in fashion and back on the market. And it's very controversial because some people absolutely love these wines and some people really, really hate them, if I may say. I picked a style which is a very good style to start with if you want to taste orange wine. Depending on the length of maceration, you get more and more tannins in a white wine, which is very strange, and more and more color. So this only has spent a week on its skin. Mm. So that's from Campania. It's a wine which is made from a grape called Fiano. So Fiano is indigenous from Campania. It's a very old grape variety. And apparently it's a grape which has so much sweetness when it's on the vine that it apparently attracts bees. And it used to be called Vitis Appiani, the vine beloved of the bees.
Okay.
So it's a very high qualitative grape variety in Campania. And when you taste that wine, so it's from a producer which is situated in the very east of Campania, in what is called Alto Irpinia area. And the cuvée is called Don Quixote because of the fact that when he planted those grapes, Fiano, in high altitude, so it's at around 700-800 meters above sea level, people started thinking that he was a little bit insane and was a little bit dreamy, thinking he was going to manage to do some wine out of there. And so when he started in 2006, making his first vintage, he actually called it Don Quixote.
Right.
So when you smell that wine, the nose, I think, is typical orange wine because you have a totally different expression of what you would expect from a white wine. So you have a lot of citrus peel. It's very floral. Mm. Have lots of kind of violet, rose petals, aromas. And then when you aerate the wine, it becomes even more kind of Mediterranean. With underneath, you have aromas of basil, of thyme, of those type of really robust herbs. Mm. Now, when you taste that wine, it has a really beautiful silky texture and nearly a sweet fruit, stone fruit character to it, which is not always the case in orange wines because some of them can be actually very astringent. That's why I say it's really good examples to start with.
Right,
if you
okay.
want to taste
so orange
wine.
So there could be bad examples of this. Then.
Well, there are bad examples of everything.
Yeah, sure.
And there are some examples which are very challenging when you never had one.
Mm. So. Yeah. Okay. So it's almost like you're saying orange wine is another acquired taste on top of wine itself.
I think it's as white is a style of white wine. You've got white wine, red wine, sparkling wines, rosy wines, and I think you have orange wines. So
yeah,
you might not like it the first time you taste it.
Well, I must say I liked it. I liked it a great deal.
Yeah, it's not bad. It's a slow burner, and I think it has like that port type texture when you're drinking it. Like it has that thicker type texture.
This one is a little bit richer than others.
Yeah.
Which make it likeable and compared to others, which would have more acidity and more tannins.
And so you'll drink less.
Maybe, but they are very, very interesting wines for food pairings. They're very versatile. On the website, there are recommended a couple of things, including a tuna tartare. And through the tartare, you can add some small segments of grapefruit. And it works beautifully with these wines. But they pair very well with North African cuisine, with some Asian influenced dishes. And they have always this presence of saltiness on the palate that makes them really, really interesting pairing with cheese as well.
Mm.
So you can try many different things.
I want a Thai takeout.
Yeah. No, I really liked it. You thought it was okay.
It's okay. It's growing on me.
Yeah,
and as
okay.
I said, now I want a takeout.
Okay, but let me rephrase the question. If Ryan Reynolds was sitting in your lap pouring this stuff down your neck, would you like it more?
Oh, yes, I would.
There you go. I have a budget of 100 euro to buy a gift for a couple for their wedding. They're really into their wine, so I was thinking of getting them a liquid gift. Do you think it would be better to get one really expensive bottle or a couple of different bottles that would be cheaper? That's an interesting question. So, yeah, one for 100 or two for 50 each.
It's a very interesting question. I think one bottle for 100 is maybe the thing to do because a lot of people would never spend 100 euros in a bottle of wine.
Mm.
So it would make it very special. And I would then ask for advice if a champagne could be an option. So I would look at a Prestige Cuvée Vintage Champagne and ask for a recommendation because champagne will keep once they are really kind of high quality champagne. And that is something which add a kind of a little extra touch of celebration, knowing that it is a wedding present.
Mm. Mm.
Otherwise, I would look at a red wine more so than a white wine. You have more chances to keep it in the long term, in good condition.
Yeah. Can I ask where I can get proper, decent red wine glasses? Is there a particular shape that lets you taste wine better? You know when you go into a really fancy pants restaurant and they bring out the fish bowls when you order a nice bottle of rouge, like those kind? I don't want any of them stemless yolks before she says it, says Audrey.
Well, there are a lot of different brands on the market which are great. One in particular, I think, is Riedel, because they pretty much have a glassware for each grape variety. But you can just buy one of their universal style, whether looking at a Cabernet shape or a Pinot Noir shape. They're great. And that the company actually importing them in the country is Mitchell's. So they have a different shops in Dublin and around Dublin. And I think you can order online as well. They're very good glasses.
I think if you go into any off license, they'll either order you the Regal glasses or they'll have them in stock. Dee in Offaly says, went to see Atomic Blonde in Tullamore. Thought it would never end, says Dee. I don't know if that's a reference to Atomic Blonde or Tullamore. A sequel to Baby Driver's in the works is called Toddler Driver. Oh. I went to see Maudie in the Lighthouse Cinema. Lovely film. Surprised to see leading actor Ethan Hawke in it. Sally Hawkins, brilliant. Great movie. Did Serena see it?
I haven't seen that one yet. That's on my list because Ethan Hawke is one of my all-time favourite actors. Very underrated.
That Falerio wine is available from Clontarf Wines, Clontarf Strand, or the Corkscrew in Chatham Street. Two places in Dublin you can get that. Borgo de Sassi Prosecco, made by Botter, £10.95, exclusive to Malloy's liquor stores in Dublin, also online, says Maureen. So there you go. Sooner or later. Collectively, we know everything there is to know. Right, we're going to take a commercial break. What movie would you like to do first?
Let's start with Ryan.
After this.
I just want to hear your voice.
There, you heard my voice.
How you doing? Made a shank yet?
What for?
It's prison, baby. You got to protect yourself.
It's a Dutch prison, Darius. What are they going to do, beat me with a clog?
Do they have the flowers you love? Irises? They come from there, right?
Tulips, Darius. What kind of a husband doesn't remember his wife's favorite flowers? You never remember anything.
There you go. That's a clip from The Hitman's Bodyguard that involves Samuel Jackson and Salma Hayek, so probably isn't that interesting.
How can you not be smiling?
Because Ryan
at that?
Reynolds wasn't in it. That's what I meant.
I love those two together. Salma Hayek, again, she's another one on my list of, I think she is hilarious. She's so passionate when she's on
screen.
On your
list of what? Finish that sentence.
On my
laminate list.
She probably would be on my laminate list, actually.
Okay, all right.
Okay, so we've got John Hamm.
Learning a lot today.
Yes, John Hamm, Ryan Reynolds and Summer Hayek.
Okay, that's some sandwich. Yeah. Go on.
I've lost my train of thought. I loved seeing them on screen. Look, this isn't a story that we haven't seen a million times before. And critics, let's start with the negatives because I've got lots of positive things to say about this. This has been slated by a lot of critics.
Okay.
They're saying, you know, this is something that people would have watched back in the 90s. Everyone's playing to type. But who says playing to type is a bad thing? If playing to type is going to guarantee you an entertaining film, then I say play away. Because sometimes you go to the cinema for nothing more than just pure escapism. You don't want anything deep.
Yeah.
This is a check your brain at the door and popcorn type film. Just go and enjoy. I do have a problem with the fact that it is 2 hours long. It should not be 2 hours long. 90 minutes would have been sufficient. And there were a couple of times where I was going, okay, and we're done. And then we get to the finale and I'm like, are you serious? You're giving me a twist. I'm not going to give it away, but it's like, you're giving me a twist. Can we not just wrap it up nicely? Give me the predictable ending and let's just go. But besides all of that, I laughed. I haven't laughed in a film in a long time. There's great chemistry between Reynolds and Samuel L. Jackson. There's a great chemistry between Jackson and Salma Hayek as well. Gary Oldman plays the vicious dictator. If you are into your action, there's some great chase scenes, beautifully filmed through Amsterdam and London. There's a lot of fight scenes. There's your typical escape scenes, fight scenes. If you want an action caper, this is the film.
Okay, fine. And what's the basic premise? Who's doing what here?
Okay, well, it's doing what the title tells you. So basically, Ryan Reynolds' character was a former top bodyguard. He's now disgraced, but Interpol needs someone to bring the hitman to the Hague. The
hitman is Samuel?
Samuel L. Jackson.
Okay.
The problem is there's a leak in Interpol, so they have to turn to Ryan Reynolds' character. He's the only man that can get Samuel L. Jackson to The Hague.
Yeah.
And so then there's this caper that happens. Will they, won't they get there on time? They have to get there by a particular time. If they're not there, Samuel L. Jackson is the only guy that can actually testify against the dictator. So if they don't make it on time, the dictator walks free.
Okay.
So there's suspense. There's, you know, it's just, it's fun. And what I really enjoyed as well, you know, sometimes when people play to type, you can see them being bored and them phoning in the performance.
Mm.
It looked like they had a ball making this and it translated onto the screen and over to us. So I would highly recommend this. This would be a great date movie.
Right.
Yeah. I think there's something for everybody in this.
Yeah. And Samuel Jackson's character is a hitman who's worked for this evil dictator, is he? Has he?
I'm not going to give too much away, okay. But basically he is a hitman who can now testify against the dictator, who's played brilliantly, of course, by Gary Oldman. I'm going to say it again. It was fun. I really enjoyed it. These films aren't my type of film usually. I don't enjoy these films.
Mm.
But this I actually walked away enjoying. I told you I don't watch The Fast and the Furious. But this had something more. This, I think, in order for a film like this to work, it comes down to the cast and the chemistry between the cast. And there was great chemistry between Ryan Reynolds and Samuel L. Jackson. That's what made it work.
And having a sense of humour and not taking itself too seriously is kind of important too.
That's the thing. It didn't take itself too seriously. The director behind this is Patrick Hughes. He did The Expendables 3. So you know what you're going to expect.
Mm.
It's going to be, you know, all shoot-me-ups, blow-ups. And I just... Yeah, it worked. If you're expecting something deep, something meaningful, do not go to this. It's not going to be for you. But if you just want some pure escapism, you want to watch Ryan Reynolds, go watch it.
Well, now you'd have to be fairly confused to buy the ticket thinking it might be deep and meaningful. These type of movies are mindless. I don't mind them sometimes when you're feeling very stressed, says Anya. If you are watching the clock or waiting for it to be over, it doesn't sound too positive. That's true. Has your critic ever heard or seen Upstream Colour? We'd be interested to hear her opinion. It has to be the worst film ever made. Apparently, it's an experimental science fiction movie. I just Googled it there. I'd never heard of it either.
No, and you know how I feel about...
experimental science. They are two least favourite genres.
Yes, so I probably won't be going anywhere near it.
Sam Jackson has been in some amount of crap lately, says Paula. He just wants a steady flow of money rather than a good script. It really shows. He'll never win an Oscar. Never. Not with that attitude anyway.
But do you know what?
Oh, stop.
But do you blame him? Like, we're all in here to make a quick buck, and he's figured out, this is my formula, this is how I'm going to make my quick buck, and he goes ahead and does it, and I respect him for it. Not once has he turned around and said, I am doing a Shakespearean play. No, he's going, I'm going out there, I'm having fun while I'm making this, and people are willing to pay me big bucks to do this, so I'm going to sign up for it.
Yeah, but there was a period probably where he had a bit more respectability. Then he did Snakes on a Plane.
Yeah, okay.
I identify that as the turning point. And then he did interviews and people would say, what it's about? And he'd just say, well, what do you think it's about? It's about snakes on a plane. But it was more colourfully phrased than that, I can tell you. And then after that, it was...
Yeah. Well, look, he is good as Nick Fury in The Avengers. Do you like him in that?
Yeah, he's all right. But it's just Samuel L. Jackson doing the thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But can we go back to how great he curses? He's an amazing
That's
cursor.
True. He is a good cursor.
Yeah.
Has Serena seen Detroit yet? Cannot wait for it, says Gemma.
No, that is out next week. So I'm hoping to see that. Okay. There's a screening next week.
Right.
Yeah.
Adrian wants to know, what's wrong with Tullamore?
I don't even know where Tullamore is.
No, he's aiming that at me. There's nothing wrong with Tullamore. Tullamore is it's the Athens of Offaly, basically.
Athens is brilliant. Beautiful.
That's what I meant.
Oh, okay.
I was being complimentary. Oh, okay. It is like the Athens of Offaly. It's sort of the birthplace of philosophy and democracy in Offaly. A French couple attending our wedding brought us a large bottle of wine as a present. I think it's a Magnum. It was also back in the years. I have to say, it was the size that suggested it was a special wedding gift, and also, I suppose, the fact that they were French, says Jim. Good story, Jim. Thanks for sharing. I have 4 bottles of Chateau Palmer Margaux 1996. Where could these be sold, as I believe they're worth a few euros, says Sean.
Yes, very famous chateau, very good chateau, and very good vintage in the Médoc.
Mm.
Where could they be sold? I would recommend to contact your local wine shop or a wine broker and ask them for recommendations. It depends. You see, if it's a couple of single bottles, it might be difficult to sell.
Four
bottles, yes. It's usually... It is better if you have the case, but not everybody can afford to buy the case. You can contact your local wine shop and see. They might be interested to take them from you and then sell them more. There are different options, I would say. Contact your local wine shop.
Yeah. Samuel L. Jackson was great in The Hateful Eight, says one texter. Samuel J. does the crappy movie so he can donate a hell of a lot of money to charity, says somebody else. And somebody else says Samuel L. Jackson was in a Shakespeare play. He was on stage with Claire Danes and Helen Hunt. So there.
Yes, but that's what I'm saying. When he's in those types of plays, he goes, I am a Shakespearean actor. But when he does stuff like this, he goes, I am just having some fun. I'm not trying to win an Oscar. I
can't imagine Samuel L. Jackson doing anything convincing in without waiting for a string of swear words in.
He'd probably throw one out there.
Yeah.
In Shakespeare.
See, that might be kind of funny. I found a Hungarian dessert wine from 2003 called Royal Tokay. Yeah, Tokay, yeah. Is it any good? Should I bring it to a fancy dinner party? They want to know.
If Royal Tokay is one of the really good producers in Tokay, which is situated north of Budapest. Very famous for sweet wines, even though they make some dry wines as well. Fantastic wine. Fantastic wine. Yeah, very, very good. And very good, I think, value for money. I don't say it is a cheap wine. It is not. But compared to some very expensive Sauternes, it can perform really, really well in blind tasting against them, for example.
Mm. If an actor curses before Samuel L. Jackson, would that actor be known as the precursor? Fionn wants to know. Stop. Samuel L. Jackson's children's book and recording, Go to F to Sleep, is his best work, says Pauline.
That is brilliant. If you haven't heard it, go onto YouTube. Can I just say, I'm just on IMDb, I cheated. 8 films Samuel L. Jackson has in post-production or completed. So there's 8 more Samuel L. Jackson movies coming our way.
Crikey, he's working hard then, isn't he?
Between now and 2019. But that's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
He's a bankable star. I know a lot of people can't believe it, but I think, you know, I'm talking about Ryan Reynolds.
I know, I believe it, but it's just the sense that he'll do anything.
But would you?
He doesn't actually read the scripts beforehand.
Do you know what? Neither would I. If they were paying me millions of dollars and then they said, come to set and let's just play games for a while, I'd be doing it too. If anyone out there wants to do that, I'm willing to sign up.
I'm guessing that making movies is slightly more complicated than that. Just turn up. Just picked up some Riedel wine glasses of the Burgundy Pinot Noir variety. Are they any good? Big Ron wants to know.
They are brilliant. Yes, yeah. They are the one I'm using at home, actually. Yes, they're very, very good.
Someone else, though, says Upstream Colour is literally my favourite film, they say. I love the story, the acting, the cinematography and the characters. Maybe your film critic could watch it and settle the argument.
Okay.
Ooh, what an exciting weekend you have ahead of you.
Or is this someone just being really mean? They've watched it and it's really bad and they're just making us watch it.
Well, I don't know. We have to take these things at face value. All right, we do have to take a commercial break, though. One more movie, one more wine after this. Five 3106 is our text number. That will cost you 30 cents. You can follow us on Facebook or Twitter or send us an email to afternoon@newstalk.com. The hashtag on Twitter is Angry Movies, Ransformers, Teenage Mutant Ninja Tantrums, Shut Up Island, Quest for Ire. They're actually particularly good. Samuel L. Jackson was great in Django Unchained.
He was. That man really
Twitter.
Can act.
Yes, he can. Well, no, I'm not saying he can't.
Why am I spending all week, all show defending Samuel L. Jackson? I thought
I know.
I'd be.
You just backed yourself into a corner there.
And I thought it'd be all about Ryan Reynolds.
Yeah. Since your wine lady is from the south of France, could you ask her what might be, what would be a must drink wine when I'm there in 2 weeks' time? I'm going to a place called Becquerès near Perpignan. Becquerès, I open it. Why do I even bother? I'll just show you the screen.
In the Roussillon. Where is he? Sorry.
This fella here. Go on, Becquerès.
Becquerès near Perpignan. I don't know Becquerès, but I know where Perpignan is. So you are in a great place for wines, both white and red. So you're in the Roussillon. And it's a very warm part of France. But however, they managed to make some really clean, pure, mineral-focused wines with a lot of organic producers now being arriving on the market. And so I would say, you know, I'm not thinking of anything in particular. We'll come back to it and I'll give you a couple of names of really good producers from this part of France to taste.
Yeah. I had Campobello Merlot at my wedding 4 years ago and want to get this for upcoming anniversary. Where can I get this?
I'm not sure. I'm sorry.
Yeah, Campobello Merlot.
No, I'm not familiar with this wine.
Yeah, sorry about that. Can you not remember where you got it the first time? Those 4 years have been so full that you've completely forgotten. Can you ask your wine lady about a wine called Rapasso? I drank this wine at a work night in Brussels where I made a joke about the unfortunate name of the wine to my aloof French colleague who just looked blankly at me. The lovely red helped to ease my embarrassment. Yeah, because it's called Rapasso, not Ripass. That's why they were. That's why they looked at you blankly.
Ripasso, it's the type of Valpolicella. So again, we're back in the Veneto area of Italy. And it is a wine which is made by adding the leftover from the Amarone winemaking. So that's why it's called Ripasso. So it's to pass over, pass again.
Yeah.
And it's kind of adding more intensity and richness to the Valpolicella. So you find many examples, good examples on the market. So I'm not sure which one you had on that particular day, but you can find some, plenty of them in wine shops around the country.
Mm. Question to the panel. Would Dunkirk be suitable for boys age 8, 5 and 10, Michael says?
Maybe the 10-year-old. I wouldn't bring the 8 or the 5-year-old. I think it's a bit much for the... Have you seen it, Sean?
Yeah, I wouldn't bring any of them.
Not even the 10-year-old?
Do you know what? I think they'd get bored. Because it's hard. You have to concentrate and it's hard to follow what's going on. And because he's deliberately obscured the audio in so many parts of it, it's kind of more like a documentary using actors.
True. It is fabulous. So again, a film that I didn't think I'd enjoy and I came out so tense. It was, I hate to say it was an enjoyable cinema experience because that's not what you say about a film
really,
like that.
No.
But
It was kind of designed to make you feel uncomfortable.
Yeah, but it's like, great, if you get a chance, maybe not with the kids, but if you get a chance, definitely check it out.
Yeah. I'm a big fan of movies based on true stories. I've watched all the mainstream true stories, looking for one off the beaten tracks. Any thoughts? Crikey. I might come back to you on that one.
Yeah.
Can the wine guru recommend any champagne that is not so dry or sharp, says John, who claims to be on holidays in Guam. I'd say you got a very cheap hotel room there.
If you want a less dry style, I would look at what is called demi-sec, so which would have more sweetness to it. And Veuve Clicquot demi-sec is making a very good style.
Mm.
One of those.
Yeah, one of those. Mm. Okay, it's our second wine. It's a red wine this time.
Yes. So we're going to a classic area again, Rioja. I kind of thought, you know, when I joined here, I was going to bring some unusual grapes and styles and so on. But I just thought this one, when I tasted it a couple of months ago, I just loved it for its simplicity and its purity and drinkability. So once again, it's an organic wine. It's a natural wine. And I think there is a lot of things happening at the moment in Rioja. We often think of Rioja wines are really savory, really spicy, plenty of American oak. And that's how we see it. However, there are other new styles on the market, which are called now kind of modern style, where they have less oak and it's French oak. And they even have a new law coming in Rioja from this year, where they are going to have a delimitation of different specific soils. They have about 10,000 different plots in Rioja, and they're going to be allowed to mention the names of the plots for people who want to actually focus on terroir and not anymore on styles.
Mm.
But the interesting thing is, we think of Rioja as an oaked wine, but traditionally Rioja was an oaked. The oak started when the phylloxera arrived in Bordeaux, or short after, because winemakers from Bordeaux moved to Rioja to make wine because they couldn't make wine in Bordeaux anymore, and they brought with them the Bordeaux barrique, so the barrel from Bordeaux, and that's when the use of oak started. So with this wine, we have an unoaked style, which in a way is kind of going back into the past. It's produced by a producer called Martin Alonso. It's called Vigna Illusion. I even love the label. Mm. On that wine, very pretty. It's organic. It was planted in 1992. It's part of a farm which also has olive trees and orchards. So it's part of a larger kind of agricultural land. He doesn't make the wine in the premises. He doesn't have a winery, so he just brings the grapes in an organic winery, which is situated a little bit. Few kilometers away down the road. It's situated in the Vigna, in the Rioja Barra area, which is the warmest area in Rioja, which don't always have the best reputation. But again, these vines are in high altitude, about 700 meters above sea level, so cooler area. And it's just a wine for pure, you know, enjoyment. It's not something you're going to think too much about. It's just so lot of fruit, strawberry, kind of currant, blackberry, a little bit of spice, and it has this really crunchy, juicy style, which I just love, you know.
It's very nice. Very nice. Very
I
nice
like
indeed.
That. Can I have a block of chocolate, please?
It would go well with chocolate. It would indeed.
Any excuse for me to have a block of chocolate.
That, idea in our mind now. What about A Time to Kill? This is more Samuel L. Jackson. Great one. And of course, don't forget Pulp Fiction. Rescue Dawn, true story, and is stunning, says a texter. The best true story I've seen lately is called Chuck. It's about the real life Rocky Balboa. Okay.
Oh, must get onto that. Talking about Rocky Balboa, very excited. Sly Stallone has just been tweeting about the new Creed 2. It's going to star Drago.
Drago.
From Rocky 4.
Right. Mm-hmm. I don't know. Sorry. I thought you lapsed into Serbo Croat there for a second. Best true story for a movie for your listener. I know my first name is Steve and not for the faint hearted, says Dee. Don't know about that.
Haven't
one.
Haven't seen that one. I love milk.
It's a good one. Yeah. Okay, let's move on to our second movie of the day. It is Everything, Everything. In this clip, Ollie and Caria bring Bunt to the neighbours.
Hi. My mom sent a Bunt. It's not very good.
It's kind of a thing our mom does. Every time we move in somewhere, she'll make us bring one to the neighbour. So it's actually more of an apology than an introduction.
What's she apologizing for?
For moving in.
Oh, that's nice. Actually, I can't accept that.
Why not?
It's complicated. But please thank your mother for me and welcome to the neighborhood.
Is your daughter around?
So that's why you came.
That's not why I came.
It is. Yeah.
No, she isn't.
Okay.
We don't really find out much from that clip what's going on, but basically the daughter's not around. She is around. She's in the house, but the daughter has a disease. A disease, you know, like the bubble boy where they can't come into contact with anybody because if they come into contact with anybody, they're just allergic to everything in the outside world.
Okay, gotcha.
So they need to live in a sterilized environment. As a result, the daughter's 17, 18, and she, from about the age of 2, they figured out she had this disease. So from the ages of 2 to 17, she has lived indoors her whole life. Her mother has tried to adapt the inside space to make it as pretty and as hands-on as possible. But at the end of the day, she's living in a bubble. And she's been fine about it. You know, sometimes...
Now, so is it the bubble family who've just moved into the house?
No, it's the other family.
The other family. Yeah. Okay, yeah.
So, you know, when you grow up living one way and you don't know anything else, it's your norm. So this has been this girl's norm. But then this boy moves in. And thanks to modern technology, they start conversing with each other. And as a result, she starts taking risks. And it turns into this love story between Maddie and Ollie. And look, this is not aimed, it's unashamedly aimed at the young adult market. So if you are not in that demographic, or even if you're not in that demographic age-wise, but you love these types of films, this isn't going to be for you. You have to love these types of films. Okay, let's start with some of the negatives. There's lots of plot holes. In this, so many plot holes. It's only 90 minutes long, but it could have been tighter. I don't think the direction in this is, it's not great. Why this works, and the only reason why this works, is the two leads. Amanda Stenberg and Nick Robinson, who play Maddie and Ollie, the chemistry, they're great actors. Amanda was in the Sleepy Hollow TV series, so that's where you recognise her from. And Nick was in, if you watch E4, Channel 4, there's a series called Melissa and Joey with, remember Sabrina the Teenage Witch?
Yeah.
Yeah, with her. He played one of the kids in that, so they'll look familiar to you because of that. Watching this, I did turn into a 16-year-old. Like, at some stages, I was like, be still my beating heart. I was crushing on both of them, and I felt like I felt when I was having my first love. So they got that right. And I think if you are a teenager, that's what you'll get caught up in. You will get caught up in the love story. You will get caught up in the beauty of it. Like, you know, it just looks beautiful. They end up in places like Hawaii and stuff as well, in New York. So visually it is stunning.
Okay, is that a spoiler? Given this poor girl is limited to remaining inside a bubble.
I'm not telling you who ends up in New York and who ends up in Hawaii.
Oh, that's true. Who could it be?
He goes
on his holidays and sends her pictures back.
He may, because this is the other issue with the story, is that there's so many subplots that just aren't really investigated. So they should have either dropped those subplots or investigated them further.
Yeah.
But, you know, this is just, as I said earlier on at the start of the show, it was nice to just watch something that was just about love and just get swept away in the emotion of love. And I don't think we have enough of that in the moment in the world. So it was nice to just focus on that for 90 minutes.
Okay. That's a beautiful thought. Though, to be very cynical about it, great. Star-crossed teenagers, fatal disease, fault in our stars, boom, ka-ching.
Oh, totally. The problem is, and it did, it had a bang off fault in our stars in this. And this is based on an actual novel that was number one on the New York's bestseller list. So I'd say the novel is probably better than the actual film. Unfortunately, this is going to be an unforgettable film. It's going to come and go. But if you are missing these types of films, as we said, there hasn't been a film like this in a long time. So if you're missing this genre of film, this will fill the void until a better one comes along.
Okay, fair enough. The Railway Man, a Colin Firth film, is a true story I found very good indeed. That's true, actually. Yeah. That is a good film. Wines from near Carcassonne are super. Chateau Bellevise and Le Batounier are wonderful and can be tasted in the cave of each chateau if in the area.
Okay, good to know.
Wow, a new film about Drago. Wow, that's great news to kick off the weekend. Shame on you, Sean, for dissing this. I didn't diss it all. I just didn't know what it meant.
It's not going to be about Drago. He is going to feature in Creed. So this is going to be Creed 2, and Drago has a part in it. Cannot wait. I'm hoping it'll be out next year sometime.
Okay, here's Claire to tell us about some good things to do this weekend.
Hello. So in Galway tomorrow, John Prine and Sturgill Simpson will be playing the Town Hall Theatre. This is a unique double bill of two of country music's true originals playing together. John Prine is, am I saying that right? Or is it Prine?
I think it's Prine, yeah.
Prine?
I think it's Prine, yeah.
Sorry, Quilly. Yeah. John Prine is one of the pioneering singer-songwriters of his generation. He's been described by Bob Dylan as Proustian existentialism. So if you want to check that out.
Not a great selling line, really. Yeah, but go on.
Well,
yeah.
Apparently the Q-man described him as that first, but no one was around to hear him. For all the details, 091-569-777 or visit tht.ie. And in Kilkenny on Sunday, the Secret Garden music is on in the Butler House Garden as part of the Arts Festival. It's one of the favourite and most popular parts of the art festival. It's a free event, 3 p.m. that afternoon. For the full programme, visit kilkennyarts.ie, and that's it.
Good stuff. Julie and Serena, thank you both very much. Always a pleasure to have you in. That's it from today's show. Our production team, Claire Collins, Michael Quilligan, Anne-Marie Kane and Owen Brennan. That's it for me for a couple of weeks. I'm going on holidays because, frankly, I'm sick of you people. Have a nice weekend.
Everybody gather round and listen to my song. I've only got one. We who are young should now take a stand. Don't run from the burdens of women and men. Continue to give, continue to live for what you know is right. Most of your life can be out of sight. Withdraw from the darkness and look to the light. For everyone's free, at least that's the way it's supposed to be. We just
keep on keeping on.
We just
keep on.
Many things that we have thrown it, but they too will soon admit that there's still a lot of love among us, and there's still a lot of faith, warmth, and trust when we
keep on keeping on.
Before we dismiss, one thing I insist. When you have your young, remember this song. And our world surroundings is leaps and bounds, ups and downs is reality. Teach them to be strong, and when they are grown, they can proudly imply that we were an alright guy. For all the wrong now is right, this nation's people are now united as one. And we just
keep on keeping on.
We just
keep on keeping on.
Many things that we have learned, but they too will soon admit that they are still alive.
Moncrief with Gas Networks Ireland. Aren't you tired of that ugly fuel storage tank, having to order and write that big check for the delivery guy? gasnetworks.ie/movetogas.